Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 885. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, just watching a fairly boring USA versus Oman soccer match at the current moment. So, nothing too wild. I suppose it might get a little bit wild. I kind of dig that the office does their office party in September and not in December when it's completely batshit crazy anyway. You don't really need to have another time frame taken away. So that's going to be kind of fun this week. So that's kind of nice. And speaking of large corporate events, the WWE just had one this week, just had one today, actually, where they are officially part of TKO now, along with Endeavor, and I'm trying to think of what the other, was there a third company involved?
Well, UFC.
Yeah, but aren't they part of Endeavor, though? Aren't they a sub?
Yeah, they're part of Endeavor, yes. Endeavor owns 51% of WWE, and then they spun off WWE and UFC into its own company.
Yeah, and Vince is still COO, I believe.
Vince is the executive chairman.
Oh.
The CEO of Endeavor is the CEO of this company.
Oh.
Nick Khan is the president. WWE. I think Dana White is just got a title. You know.
Oh yeah, for the UFC, got something similar.
Where UFC got his title increased really. I think he's CEO, but his duties do not change one bit. Officially, Triple H is still your chief creative officer. I say officially. On paper, Triple H. But as we saw, Vince McMahon is back on his feet, and still trying to make that mustache work.
Yeah, it was none too surprising that we saw him on his feet, and I feel like I also saw a couple of, hey, Vince has been throwing more creative input in the last week or two again. It's just like, that checks out.
We will see what all of these changes hold in store when companies do merge like this. You know, eliminating redundancies becomes a thing in the office. Wrestlers and UFC fighters, you know, could also find themselves out of a job in a situation like this. You know, we'll see over time how much power Vince really has here. I mean, what does an executive chairman actually do? And what decisions can he make? I mean, does that put him, you know, let's see, we talked about this before. Technically, that would put him ahead of Dana White
in the organization.
And possibly give him power over UFC.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know how exactly the position is worded.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, I mean, Endeavor owns 51%.
Oh, yeah.
So imagine that the Endeavor people would get their way. Now, the Endeavor people, historically now, as we've had, five or so years of them owning UFC under our belt, pretty much just still just let Dana White do whatever the hell he wants. And I mean whatever the hell he wants. they don't step in about anything.
I would imagine that Vince is going to get his own level of autonomy, quite similar to that.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, UFC is buying into, and I just see Endeavor is buying into WWE and doing this and merger at a time when everything has been going right for WWE. There's, I mean, those of us who follow closely can maybe see some cracks in the armor forming. Maybe we even saw them forming back in April when when Cody Rhodes lost to Roman Reigns. But they have had an incredibly successful year. On the surface, there is no need for any major change to the way WWE does business.
No.
And, you know, UFC was, now, of course, UFC has dropped in popularity since, you know, the merger for a new number of reasons. Well, mostly because they've just lost so many main fighters and have not rebuilt the stars on the level of Ronda Rousey or Conor McGregor or Jon Jones or Brock Lesnar, etc.
Oh, right. Yeah. I think part of it is the additional professional wrestling. It almost feels like fatigue in the same direction. Like, I feel like you can watch something UFC related almost every day of the week. And
yeah,
when you feel like you need to watch something that much, just like some stuff gets cutting.
Yeah. And
UFC is there.
And for what UFC is, as you know, fighters can really only fight 3 or 4 times a year at most. Many only fight twice, maybe. Some only fight once in a year. Some of those ESPN and ESPN Plus cards, whew, kind of stinky, even for my knowledge of who the stars in UFC are.
Yeah, I mean, that is not surprising. Again, with the volume that they're expected to produce at this juncture, you're just going to have some that are not going to go well. Although it did seem like they kind of had an interesting one this past weekend.
But as has been the case, it seems the least marketable guy won. Recently, yes.
Yeah. Sometimes upsets are good. Sometimes they're not.
Yeah, no. UFC has had, they've had a number of those not good upsets in recent times. But they're still an incredibly profitable company. You know, the boom's over, but they've got a loyal fan base otherwise.
Oh, yeah, I'm not surprised by that by any means.
Yeah, I mean the casuals don't really come in for. You know, there's not that many big fights anymore involving the names they recognize, but they got a loyal audience that WWE has. You know, which WWE also, they are very similar companies in many ways, and that is one of them. WWE is, you know, the days of Raw hit or SmackDown hitting 10 million viewers or what have you, or households or however you, those are long gone. But you have a very, very loyal fan base, especially this day and age that seems that tunes in every week, about 2 million or so people or households or however they do it anymore. And watches every week. And once again, WWE has had a great year at the box office, a phenomenal year at the box office. Phenomenal year of merchandise. So as a percentage of the audience actually spending money on the product, this year might be more impressive than anything they did in the Attitude Era. Because that period is, a lot of people watch the shows every week, and then they just went about their lives and never spent money on the product. Because, in that era, even the biggest WrestleMania never went over 1 million buys on pay-per-view.
Okay.
So, everyone wasn't buying the pay-per-views unless, everyone was converging over somebody else's house, which did happen a lot, too. But as far as my point is, as far as a percentage of the actual TV audience spending money on the product, buying tickets, buying merchandise, and even subscribing to Peacock, I mean, it kind of blows it away based on a percentage basis. They do have a very loyal fan base that currently is spending money on the product. We shall see what happens. I mean, and even before all this, it definitely seems like WWE is in a, it's not a rut because a rut is not intentional, but they've intentionally slowed things down. They are intentionally holding off on major things happening until at least January, it feels like.
Yeah, it maybe feels a little more noticeable than normal, but I do feel like that's kind of been a pattern that we've seen develop over the years.
Yeah, it is. Last year was probably a unusually interesting fall, because you had the main stuff going on with the Bloodline and the Sami Zayn stuff. I think it felt like Roman Reigns was around more. Obviously, Roman Reigns is basically taking a 2-month vacation. You know, I assume he's going to be defending in Saudi at the beginning of November, so he'll have to start making SmackDown appearances again in, like, you know, early October, probably. But we're not going to see. We have not seen him since the SmackDown after SummerSlam. So this is one. Oh. This is probably his longest sabbatical he's taken since taking on his part time schedule. I don't know if we went more than 4 or 5 weeks without seeing him. We're definitely in that here.
Yeah, this is definitely an extended time period for Mr. Reigns to be twiddling his thumbs at home. Sure, he's not just twiddling.
And the Bloodline storyline has just been through all of its pretty much all of its twists and turns. You know, Sammy being in, Sammy being out. Sammy and Kevin getting back together, the way the tag belts. Roman and the Usos having their breakup, the match where Jade got the pin Roman in the tag match, then Jay's challenging Roman for the title, Jimmy turning on Jay, which, they are absolutely, the reason Jay is on Raw is to keep them apart until next year, WrestleMania most likely, to be the first time they, they did it with Ray and Dom last year, it worked. You can do that again with Jay and Jimmy, because once again, I don't know if I exactly have high hopes for their matches against each other. So if their WrestleMania match is maybe the one and only one, or at least the first one, you don't disappoint people, say in January or February or earlier with their physical interactions.
Yeah, it would be really good to hold off on that one. That's one of those ones that I would, be really against them kind of giving that away. It just, like you said, like, they really made a choice to go with Jay as a singles wrestler. Although I do think that was one of the weirder things with WWE this week, honestly. Jimmy, his desperation to get back into the Bloodline it still strikes me as pretty strange.
It's strange. It borders on pathetic. It is, especially when he can't win matches.
And he's supposed to be facing a guy that they're pushing as a major star in his brother.
Yeah. It's once again. It's I'm not sure exactly I have the end. I mean, if the end destinations for all of this are Jay versus Jimmy at one of the nights of WrestleMania, and Roman versus Cody again, like I see where the vision is. Because Cody getting involved in this, Cody sticking his nose in Roman Reigns' business. He does not have a feud of his own at all right now.
No, he has been bumming around for a while and just getting the rub from Grayson Waller.
Yeah. Well, he needed it. I can see where they're going, but we've still got still almost 6 months. Wait, hold on. October, November, December, January, February, March. It's still almost 7 months until WrestleMania, and we're not even gonna get really start firing in all cylinders until about 4 months from now. We got a lot of filler between that one and then.
Yes, we do. I guess I know that I did not intentionally sidetrack us from the merger talk there. I guess before going full in on, because I just kind of felt like that fit the mold there. Is there anything... Oh, the one thing about merger talk that I was interested in? Because I just saw... I actually left the alert on my phone because I remember seeing it that... everyone thinking that maybe the WWE is leaving Fox because, out of character, their either TV show or podcast got canceled?
And that is very funny because Ryan Satin, whatever journalistic integrity he ever had. He sold out to Fox and WWE. So now his show's been canceled, and he gave up his website and everything that he had going. He is basically begging AEW for a job now, and it's kind of funny.
Oh.
Being very complimentary of them, more than he ever had before. Talking about them more than he ever had before.
Oh, boy. Well, yep. That's what happens sometimes.
Yeah. That is what happens. But, yes, looking more and more like, yeah, WWE is going to leave Fox next year. I mean, Fox seems to already be putting the story out that they're the ones that aren't going to want WWE anymore at the price WWE wants, and you know that old thing about the ad rates are so low compared to everything else on TV. No, it's Fox. You know, Fox is pride. Fox is basically, you know, corporate rich poor. They can't afford it. They just can't. I mean, you know, they're not going to dip into their NFL fund. You know that. And that's understandable, you know?
Oh, all right.
Yeah, because that's pretty much all they have left, because they don't carry any other major... No, they get baseball. They got Major League Baseball in the playoffs, yeah. And they got the college. Yeah,
yeah, and the college.
Okay, I'll just go there. Fox is pretty good with their sports coverage. I mean, not that I think all their coverage is good, but they're well invested in it.
Yeah. I guess it's interesting to me just because I feel like, for whatever reason, the in-laws tend to be the ones to stumble across wrestling. But they also ended up seeing the parking lot street fight on AEW the one week because they were just channel surfing. So I feel like they maybe caught things a little more often on Fox. So it's kind of interesting to get off of network TV. Like I do think that helps some.
They might not though. If they end up with Disney, SmackDown may end up on ABC. Now, SmackDown I believe has been on every night of the week, Monday through Friday, but Wednesday I believe. No, I mean obviously it's never been on Monday, but it's been on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and it's bounced around a lot. There may have been a year where it was on a Wednesday. I don't even remember. So they don't necessarily have to keep Fridays, because I know it was said that Friday is Shark Tank night for ABC, and that still gets really good ratings. So would you want to put WWE in that spot and move Shark Tank or 2020 even?
I had no idea that was such a captivating show until I went to the lake house this year, and all the two nieces and nephew were loving watching reruns of that. I'm like, okay, this is what we're going to watch, huh? So, that's, I guess, I'm not surprised. Like I said, I did not realize that show's continued popularity.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it goes to ABC, I mean, they're not married to Friday. They can put it elsewhere. Or it could go on FX. Or it could go on ESPN, but any night of the week on ESPN, they're not guaranteed the same slot every week, basically.
That would seem to be the least attractive option.
Least attractive, but there may be opportunities to do more with ESPN Plus. I'm sure ESPN and ESPN Plus wouldn't mind getting a hold of the pay-per-views and the library once the Peacock deal is over.
But that deal doesn't
come up to 2026. So that's the kind of the interesting part. Is like you can't get all of that until 2026. But it looks like NBC USA is going to keep, you know, Raw and NXT. So, you know, you're still mostly in bed with them. WWE being in bed with Disney for the first time in their life, that'd be huge. I mean, I don't think Vince McMahon Sr. ever thought one day that the company he started was going to have a relationship, would potentially end up having a relationship with Disney. Although his son does believe he is Walt Disney.
He definitely has been rocking a Walt Disney vibe.
He has. Oh my, yes. Because didn't Walt get a, and grow a mustache, pencil mustache later in his life?
Most of the pictures I have seen of Walt Disney, he has a pencil mustache.
Oh my God, I just figured it out.
Yep. I am on record as noting that not a big Disney fan. They have acquired a bunch of brands that I am behind. So, yep. Yeah, Walt always had a creepy mustache.
Yeah. So, once again, the other major player for SmackDown appears to be Amazon. And, they've sniffed around the WWE contract probably for the last 10 years or so.
Oh.
It makes a lot of sense. The NFL numbers on Thursday have seemed to, not that they released the exact numbers, but they, they've seemed to have grown year after year with it. You can throw WWE on Friday nights. You got a pretty good little powerhouse, early weekend lineup there, long weekend lineup, or what do you want to call it, end of the week. So, but of course, then there's the element that it's no longer on regular television. Those last remaining people, like your parents, who actually flick through the channels or actually use the channel guide, won't be able to won't just stumble upon WWE anymore.
My in-laws might stumble upon it in the apps. My parents, not a chance in hell. If they can't flip to it, it is definitely not happening. So,
but then again, that has just become, where the streaming adoption is at over 50%. People are canceling their cable at high margins. They're predicting maybe the end of cable within the next 5 years completely. All the old ways that someone became a fan of wrestling have largely gone away. There's no more magazines in the stores staring you with some superhero physique just staring you in the face. Same thing with the video stores. it's again, channel flipping and going through your channel guide, that's been going away steadily for 20 years.
I feel like it's been hard to stumble on it for quite a while.
Yeah, once again, the ways in the 80s and 90s you could just stumble upon it, and there's still the video games. I know a number of kids who they don't even watch the shows, but they play the video games with their friends, so they know the key people. Or obviously the toys are still big in the toy store aisle. So those still exist, but it's progress, baby. It's changed. Things change.
It's definitely a different market than when. Because honestly, I guess I was trying to figure out with the way you said that, what really. Started my fanhood, and that's a moment that I really don't remember. You know what I mean? I don't necessarily remember a magazine at the grocery store or anything like that. I'm going to assume that maybe I just stumbled on it. Did a lot of cartoon watching on Saturday morning, so if that got bled in, if cartoons led into the WWE, that would not be a shocking route that I
it's very possible. For me, it was already on. My older brother watched it, my dad watched it with him, and my mom even sometimes too, so it was always there. So, but again, we don't really have as much of that anymore. Because that's the other thing with how, what we've seen with ratings and their down periods are. After Cena's peak, these new generation of kids coming up have basically never watched wrestling before. It just was not on their house.
A lot of people between the death of
WCW and the next 10 years after that.
Just
stopped watching wrestling.
It was not on their house
anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not completely surprised. You know, there is always a little bit of a wackiness that comes with doing this here podcast, honestly. That, you know that there is a minority of people out there watching professional wrestling. And, you know, I guess that's always been one of those funny things that it doesn't really concern us. But, yeah, I mean, you can see how far the ratings have gone. Like, I mean, I keep on almost chuckling at the lowering and lowering of the bar about what's doing great.
Oh, yeah. And that's...
I understand, but it still makes
me... That's across all of television, right? Yeah. Yes. it's hilarious. When you think about the numbers, like the network primetime lineup would get back in the 80s and 90s. The multiple shows on the same night doing like 20.15 to 20.0s. It's just like, where do these people all go? I mean, I guess that's the stream.
Yeah, when there's a million people watching this, a million people watching that, and a million people, you know, like, that's one thing that is just like, I feel like Steve Williams kind of tweeted something about it. Like, when you don't have a choice, you don't have a choice. Like, when there's only six options, someone's going to, you know, like, people were just so fascinated with TV. That's what kind of hooked you in.
Yeah, and... By the 2000s, the networks really left their fine time lineups for the most part go to crap.
Yeah, like there have been some spot shows that that we watch here, but that's really about it.
Yeah, same. Very much the same here. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think I watch a block of anyone's shows. I'm trying to think. The only thing I can think of that we watched back to back was the guy that created the Goldbergs did a spinoff show that we watched back to back. But we haven't watched that in a couple of seasons now. So.
I mean, up until not that long ago, I was still, you know, hooked on all the CW, DC shows. So that's pretty much it. But of course, you know what? I would record them on my DVR and watch them on my way, watch them later. So, you know, a lot of things have changed. And but WWE is still considered a hot property. On television, based on the current standards of the day, they 52 weeks a year of programming. Their talent is not unionized, so they don't have to worry about strikes. And they even work through a pandemic.
Yeah, ask John Cena about that.
Like they never stop. They're the only thing that never stopped for a second, other than the news broadcast. And even then, you had reporters broadcasting home for God's sake.
Yeah, WWE really kept it real there the whole time. So,
Yes.
You can see the value in having that.
Yes.
You know, and... I hope for the next 100+ years we do not have another pandemic.
Yeah, so that'd be nice.
We can leave it at that. I really hope I do not have to witness another one within my lifetime.
No, I'm with you on that one. I'm with you on that one.
So, yeah, WWE, it's a new day, but like you said, a lot of this, I guess, is just kind of speculation. For the time being, since these contracts aren't quite up yet, And, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I feel like that is the one thing. Like, we're like, oh, like, I feel like we always end up hearing a number floated about what the WWE wants. We're like, there's no way they're going to get that. And then they get, like, a time and a half of that. And it's just like, okay, I'm done doubting that this is going to happen.
I have fully believed that they'll get what they're looking for from somebody.
Yeah. So, I guess you want to finally dive into the wrestling itself nonsense?
I already did it, and then you backtracked us, so.
Well, I felt like we weren't done with the merger talk. There was one big return here on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, there was.
Nia Jax comes out and flattens initially Raquel Rodriguez on the outside, unbeknownst to the referee. So one Rhea Ripley ends up with a fairly easy second victory over Miss Rodriguez. And then Nia Jax, I'm like, hold on, why are you attacking the person who is not the champion? This is kind of stupid. And then she did wise up and attack Rhea Ripley.
Yes, she did. But you know what? Before we get Nia versus Rhea, we just need that Nia versus Raquel match, baby. Match all stars that's going to get. Why? Why?
Why?
Why?
This is one that's a little bit of a mystery for me. She was not terribly good in the ring to start with. I'm not sure if how long has she been off? Like 3 years?
Definitely not two. Probably closer to. It's been about two.
You know, she doesn't.
No, actually, if anything, she looks like she's lost
significantly
some.
Different.
No, actually, if anything, she looks like she's lost some weight.
Yep, I thought I had seen that on online, but
She works out every once in a while. Some of the girls, especially Charlotte, which is weird because they're the ones that had the in the middle of the ring on an episode of Monday Night Raw. Good to see they got past that.
Oh man, wow! I guess I did not realize that she was 39 here. And yes. So did not realize she is a little bit on the older side.
Yeah.
But yeah, 2 years.
Yeah. 39, carrying around that weight. 39. Sorry to say it. And with bad knees. That's with bad and a history of being sloppy in the ring.
And a history of
and all the and all the weirdness with
and all the and all the weirdness with vaccinations
and human trafficking and conspiracy theories. And
she's even in on those. Huh?
Yeah, so.
Oh boy.
Yeah. It's.
They always seem to be, that stuff always seems intertwined.
Yeah.
It's, no. Not a good look.
I don't know where her head's at now, with anything. Really, I would not pay attention to her. She's had her defenders. Asuka's been going off on Twitter all day. In her own way, trying to defend Nia Jax. You know her personally. I don't.
yep.
I just know that she's
I just know
was
that,
never that was never very good.
Was never that was
whatever
never very good.
They were gonna get.
Whatever
they were, they already feel like they already, got out of her.
They already got out of her.
There's nothing.
There's nothing.
There's nothing she can do.
There's nothing she can do
that Piper Niven can't do and then some.
That Piper Niven can't do and then some.
So, but they've dropped Piper. Obviously, they've dropped her so much.
They've dropped Piper.
I mean,
they've dropped her.
How many times can Becky can Bianca Belair give her KOD? You're like, whoa, that's so awesome.
The KOD.
When she said it like 10 times.
Oh my.
She said it like 10 times.
Yeah, even the last one they tried to make a big deal of, and I'm like, guys, we've seen this at least 3 times before this. Like, it's impressive, but not impressive at the same time. Like, I can't be surprised. Yeah, I can still find it impressive, but I'm not surprised. I think that
works. Yeah, it's always impressive, but I'm shocked about it.
Yeah, it's always impressive, but I'm shocked about it.
Correct.
But no, Nia Jax is back. She has immediately targeted Rhea Ripley. Weird dynamic here is you put Rhea in the role of babyface there because Nia is definitely a heel. While Rhea's still in Judgment Day. Although they made a point of not having her around the Judgment Day at all on Monday.
They made a point of not having her around the Judgment Day at all on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely know that she is getting a different reaction than everyone else. Honestly, it was almost indicative of another moment in the evening when Finn Balor is talking to Jey Uso, and he's like, Damian, I'm impressed with you. I'm impressed with you. Rhea's impressed with you. He goes, huh?
Yeah, that's why.
And he does the Scooby-Doo look, basically, in his... Just like, you know, I even within the wrestling universe, there's Rhea Ripley is a difference maker. You know, like everyone else, all the guys come off like schmucks, even Damian Priest. But Rhea just comes off as a badass, and it's definitely a different vibe for her. So I guess I'm not surprised that she's being put in the babyface position. I mean, even at Payback, I would say that more of the crowd was for Rhea than it was for Raquel.
Well, Raquel got no record. Raquel was one of two people who people did not stand for her entrance. It was her and Austin Theory. Those were the only people who didn't get a standing ovation or just interest during their entrance. Yeah, that was very telling. On both sides. But, yeah, no, I mean...
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I mean...
Rhea turning a babyface did feel inevitable. Which is why, which is a big part of why I felt like sometimes they should have gotten Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch out of the way.
Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch out of the way.
Yo. yeah, let her turn after that.
Getting Rhea and Becky to WrestleMania with Rhea still as the heel was always going to be difficult. And it seems like...
Getting Becky to WrestleMania with Rhea still as the heel was always going to be difficult. And it seems like...
They've given up on it. They've also given up on that, or maybe they haven't, but also are already trying to move Rhea heel
babyface
without doing an official break with her with the Judgment Day. Which feel like very aging Vince move. To just do what he wants without having it make sense in the universe they've already created.
Triple H has had a little more tact in separating people.
He has
But
God, can he let his feuds go forever?
Why
is Chad Gable still challenging Gunther? He was humiliated in front of his family. It was a clean.
Yeah, Imperium didn't interfere.
There was no interference. You lost. Get to the back of the line.
You lost.
So like I said, like, they had an opportunity coming out of this to make a main event Intercontinental Champion, which is something they probably need on these shows when Roman Brock are gonna rock or not. And, you know, you could do Gunther Cody, you could... You could even have Gunther go for Seth. You could have Gunther versus Jay versus Kevin versus Sammy. Raw is babyface rich.
Oh.
And everyone's basically feuding. And except for Seth, they're all feuding with the
Judgment Day. Except for Seth, they're all feuding with the Judgment Day.
You could have taken one person out of that mix and put them with Gunther.
And put them with Gunther.
He's feuding with the job squad. Weird thing for me to say that I was really into Cable, and I was really, you know, into the whole American Alpha. I always say that. Alpha Academy Act with the three of them. They've just made Otis completely irrelevant. You know, Maxine's Maxine, and then Gable just lost. You know, babyface cannot lose clean and then cry about it.
They can't just complain about it.
But Gable's just bust clean. And he's crying about it. Chiava's never going to get fully over. I think it's a single in WWE, so he's not a guy to challenge and feel through in a way that's meaningful. So I'm just like, okay, we broke this record, and I don't. Care about what he's doing right now.
And I guess that's a little bit, to me, the problem. Like, the names, the big names that you brought up that are maybe available for him, it almost feels like he needs to lose to one of them. I guess Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are easier to to eat some losses. I don't think Jay can do that right now.
They've built up his breaking the Intercontinental record. It's very much a Roman Reigns situation. Now when does he lose it and does it feel anticlimactic?
There's big matches. There's matches you could do.